Hi, and welcome to Five Compelling Questions with Sean. This is the podcast where we speak with writers about writing. I'm really honored to have my guest here today. I've been looking forward to meeting this author, and he's finally here. I have a doctor on my show too, and I don't usually want to see doctors, but I really want to see this one. So everyone knows my backstory on the show. Dr. Frank Spinelli is joining me today on the podcast. How are you doing, Dr. Frank?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
It's wonderful to meet you. We have friends in common, so I've heard a lot about you and I've been diving into your backstory, and I'm just really thrilled that you're here. I'm going to give you a brief introduction. Dr. Frank Spinelli is an American-born physician. He has contributed articles to The Advocate and The Huffington Post. Writing credits include The Advocate Guide to Gay Men's Health and Wellness, He Shy, a memoir, which I just downloaded this morning, and contributing author to Our Naked Lives and Understanding the Sexual Betrayal of Boys and Men. He has made appearances on Sirius Radio's Morning Jolt with Larry Flick and co-hosted Speak Out, Real Talk About AIDS. Documentary credits include 30 Years From Here, which was Emmy nominated. That's awesome. Positive Youth and I'm a Porn Star. Television credits include ABC News, NBC Nightly News, MTV, National Commercial, and Sesame Street. So you like to mix it up. And I think you were just saying you were on another show just recently, too. In 2015, he hosted a season of Dueling Doctors. Frank Spinelli is an advocate for child sexual abuse survivors and has given frequent interviews about his experience as a victim of child sexual abuse while in the Boy Scouts. We're here, but you're also not included in, I mean, there was this, it was in there, but I edited. You're also a fiction writer, which we're going to be talking about your fiction. So you're a memoirist, you're a fiction writer, you're all encompassing. So welcome once again. Tell us about your most recent book, the title, and what it's about.
So my most recent book is a crime book. It's called No Angels Wept. It is the second in a series called the Angelo Perotta Mysteries. The first was Perfect Flaw. What I really enjoyed writing this book is that it is a standalone, although the character remains the same. Angelo is in it, and it follows his trajectory of his career. But it actually ends up with him going to LA to appear on a radio show to talk about his first year in private practice, which ended tragically. And while he's in Los Angeles, he gets entangled in a series of murders perpetrated against gay sex workers by the No Angels Wept killer, and then calamity ensues.
Yeah, as at anything, any good medical thriller, calamity ensues. Well, it's an intriguing premise, and it seems like you've pulled from a lot of your own personal experiences to flavor your fiction. The medical stuff, that being a doctor, you know all about that stuff. So I'm really curious because you have obviously nonfiction cred. Your memoir was published by one of the big publishers. How did your fiction career get started? What, you know, it's not everyone that just feels like they want to sit down and write a novel. So how did your, yeah, I mean, it's not easy. But you got through medical school, so I'm sure you think it's probably a bit. How
I
did your
don't know
fiction
which is
writing career get
harder.
started? Yeah, right?
I mean, with writing a memoir, it's very different. I was keeping a journal in real time. I had kept a journal. So you're trying to write in a timeline that's factual. It's not an autobiography. So it is a memoir and it's very different. It's your perception of the events that happen and your memory of it. And so that was very freeing. But I felt like I was actually a detective writing that book because we were solving a crime and we were trying to get my child molester behind bars 30 years after the fact. And, spoiler alert, it ended very well. You could Google it. And I am very proud of the work we did. I'm very proud of that book. But what it taught me was that you had to write in a timeline fashion and also provide clues. So once I was able to, realize that formula, I started to outline my idea for the first book, Perfect Flaw, which is actually inspired by my first year in private practice, in which, unfortunately, a woman was murdered by someone who worked at the office. And we appeared on 2020 last year because the killer was released from prison and he actually reached out to me on Facebook, which is, yeah, a little bit creepy and scary. But I want to believe he served his time. And although that poor victim will never be brought back and her family will always miss her, I felt that he had served his time. But I found that that experience changed me irrevocably, and I thought it would be a good idea for a murder where I could really sensationalize it. Obviously, it's not another memoir, but I thought I loved the character Angelo, and I love the fact that he fell in love with someone and they went through this experience. And so I thought, well, why not make them go through that all over again, and this time in Los Angeles, and let's add conversion therapy into the mix.
Yes, that was one of my questions.
Yeah.
So that leads right into my next question, because you are a doctor, you have a medical background, but you have personal experience. It seems like you've drawn on all these things to develop your plot. So go, and there was one note that you had that medically people are trying, medically people want to try to conversion therapy with, you have a like a specific thing, like a medical device,
Right.
or we all know about the camps and the weird stuff people are
Right,
trying to do.
right.
Ridiculous. So dive into that. How did you, is this like real research you did, or did you make this up? What's happening?
No, so in I believe it was 2014, the New York Times came out with an article, and the scientist they highlighted in this article was someone who wrote an extraordinary book called The Body Keeps the Score, which talks about trauma and the way he had developed this behavioral framework to try to help veterans from Afghanistan with their post-traumatic stress. And as I was reading it, I thought, if this was used by someone else in the wrong hands, what could they do? And so I thought about a drug development, which I'm very involved with. I thought of what you could do forced conversion therapy utilizing that premise. And you know what? Honestly, what was really scary, and I don't want to get political, but look at who the new Speaker of the House is and his stance on conversion therapy. Had I known that when I was writing the book, I would have had to acknowledge it. And so it wasn't until after the book was completed, I said, look at the Speaker of the House currently is talking about conversion therapy. This isn't just a sensational idea. This is actually happening. So I was really intrigued about putting the book forward. In part, it's about forced conversion therapy, and unfortunately on people who need money, and in this case, it's boys who are sex workers who are disenfranchised from their homes and they have to run away. And I was really also very intrigued by that idea about boys going missing in Los Angeles and running away from homes and becoming sex workers. And so, yeah, it's got a lot of elements that I drew upon by reading articles, and also the science, as I say, with all my books, is accurate. Is it real? I don't know. I hope not, but it's accurate.
Yeah, and it's terrifying. I mean, and
Yeah.
it's as a mother myself, you kind of like you have to take it all the way back to the beginning. It's like, okay, I'm not going to accept you as my child, so therefore you go out and live on the streets and try to make
Right.
it. I mean, that's terrible. And then like it's just such a dangerous lifestyle. And then from the other side, people wanted to change the way you are intrinsically. It just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. And when you start messing around with interventions and chemicals and things, that's it just makes me think of World War II. And I'm like, that's just way too
And
many.
brainwashing. And I mean, if you just watch Netflix right now, there are so many shows about cults. This is a real thing. You can brainwash people very easily. And especially, like you just mentioned, those who are down on their luck and, their family kicked them out, they're very susceptible.
It's tough. It's tough. Well, thank you for shedding some light on that. But you did write a piece about this. It's on your website. I did read it this morning.
Oh,
All
cool.
right. Yeah. For anyone listening, you want to dive a little bit further into what we're talking about, it's on Dr. Frank's website. So question three. Tell us about your main character, Dr. Parada. Let's tell us all about this guy. Why would we be interested in reading his book? How do you develop the voices of your characters? Do you keep a character Bible? Do you know what he likes to eat for breakfast? How do you manage to flesh him out into a real person?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would say, on the very surface level, Angelo is a avatar of me. But what I did do this time was I had a vision board of what I thought he would look like from magazines, just trying to describe what he looks like. And yeah, you do write about what he looks like, but not only that, what is he like? His whole backstory is completely different than mine, but I like the idea that he and his sister shared a real fondness for their mother, and her, the fact that she died prematurely, and they share this secret. And I think secrecy amongst siblings is very interesting, and the way they managed to survive a rough childhood of being poor. And I thought that really informed him. And in fact, it informs him a great deal because he's very ambitious to a fault almost. And so, yeah, the vision board is very important to me. I love collecting that. I like collecting ideas of where they live and seeing it and actually making this board. And then I don't know about what he likes to eat, but no, you're right. Actually, there is a part because when they go on the first date, it's things he likes to eat. I remember he talks about going to McDonald's and ordering a Happy Meal. And I think those memories are very important to key you in. One of the greatest pieces of advice I ever got was when you're creating a main character, have a good name. You know, I often use very pedestrian names for the secondary characters because you don't want anybody to remember them. You like if you have a name, then I want you to remember this person, if that's a clue. And the second thing is someone told me, live with your character for a week. So think about that person for a week. What would they be doing right now? What is their day like? You know, what are their favorite colors? And jot that down in a book. And things that you think, I love to listen to people's conversations, so be careful if you see me in the room. And I write down little phrases or things that I hear, especially amongst young people, that I'm like, oh, that's a cool thing for somebody to say. And then I'll write that down and I'll think, oh, that's something, that's an Angelo thing to say.
When my son was little, I would drop him at my mom's and I go to like Panera or whatever, and right, or like just sit there and listen to people. And people go to Panera to like get divorced or see their neighbor, or like they're all over there talking about stuff. Like, I don't think you should be talking about this right here. Like, I can hear everything you're saying. That's where people meet to discuss things they should talk about in an office somewhere. But I was fascinated. I'm like, damn, there's a lot of people getting divorced.
And the way they describe it, it's hilarious. You're like, I would never have thought that phrase. I mean, you know, so I think it's important to, I think authors are often very good listeners.
You gotta be. You have to reflect. Your characters have to have a different way of speaking in the start. It just becomes monotonous. I mean, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work behind the scenes to make characters sound real.
Exactly.
It's good that you've done the work. I like the idea. I really love the idea of thinking about. I've never thought of that before or heard that, where you think of the character for a whole week. I never would have. That's a new thing. I'm gonna have to try that. That's a fun idea. I like that. Cool. See, you're giving tips. You're giving out tips. This is what we
Giving out
do. We talk about craft.
tips.
We talk about craft on the show. So question four. Has writing books and going through the publishing process taught you anything about yourself? Was there anything surprising to you? You're already accomplished in another area of the world, so
Right.
is publishing scary or fun, or what was it, or did it teach you anything about yourself?
Yeah. Oh my God. Another great question. Yeah. It taught me a lot of things. It taught me like I could not control the world. And you just have to accept things for what they are. And it taught me to accept rejection, which you must accept because it's a part of the world of publishing. Because, you know, for the most part, most writers don't get to be best-selling authors. That's just a reality. It's like acting. Just because you went to acting school doesn't mean you're going to be the next Angelina Jolie. You know, it's just not going to happen. So I think I learned to accept that, yes, I wrote a memoir and people really accepted it and I got some really good write-ups from Publishers Weekly and Kirkus, but that didn't mean my second book was coming out. It didn't mean like anything. It meant that each work is judged on its own. And yes, okay, maybe there are a handful of authors who, if they write anything, it's going to get published, of course. But no, not at my level. And so it taught me humility. It taught me to be patient. You know, the wheels of publishing do not go as swiftly as you want. And it also taught me to take criticism. And I use that word. Because a lot of people don't like saying criticism. They think it's a bad word. I love criticism, especially if it's constructive, because you have to say, you know, when I read that, I just didn't, it's not the way you're describing it to me. I read it a different way, or I found it really offensive. And, you know, it hurts. But I think with anything where you put yourself out there, you have to accept that. And so it did teach me a lot. And it's almost like being a glutton for punishment. I don't know why I go back, but I really enjoy the process. I read all my reviews, or all of you who are writing on Amazon and Goodreads, I read it. And yeah, even when somebody misses the boat and says something really nasty, you just say, okay. And you know what? This is another tip. The writing of a review has nothing to do with you. That's what was going on in that person's life at the time. And they spent money and bought your book. Okay? So congratulations to you. And if they didn't like it, that's their thing. They get to say what they want, but you should listen to every piece of advice and reviews that you get. You don't have to use it, but you should listen to
Yeah, I mean, people send their dinner back at Le Bernardin. I mean, that happens. Like, but I
it.
spent $5,000 to get there or whatever. But it's I that's really, really, really good advice. That there was a I wrote a story several years ago now. It's a long time ago. I don't even think this podcast is still in existence. But it's me. I was in a group of people that were nominated for this award, and I actually won it. And they went
Oh.
this whole hour of this podcast was talking about how bad our stories were. So you get like a Google, you get a Googler like, oh, cool, they're gonna be talking about me on the spot. Like, oh, this was a bad idea. I don't want to listen to this. But they didn't like any of them. They were just like basically trashing. It was just funny. But I did listen to it. I was like, wow, this is an interesting podcast. But yeah, you have to. It does teach you humility,
Yes.
because even if you write, people have given bad reviews for The Godfather. I mean, it's just people. Not everyone is gonna like even the things that most people like. It's just the way it is. It's the way the world is. So you can't get hung up on it, because I've
And
had
you know
friends
what
that
a,
have just like stopped. They've stopped writing because they couldn't take it, and it's you can't do that. You got to keep going.
and you know what I learned? Most people will go online and write a bad review because they're angry, as opposed to writing a good review. So as a New Year's resolution, I said, if I enjoy this meal tonight, I'm going to go online and write, I enjoyed this meal, because we don't often give credit. We often are mad, and that anger fuels us to go, I'm going to give them a 1-star review because they sucked. Well, what about all the good ones that you didn't write? So it's a two-way street, everybody.
That's really good. I love that resolution. We should all at least, give that a try, because it is. We usually amplify, unless if there's no middle of the, there's not a lot of middle of the road reviews. It's
Right.
like we
No.
always amplify the worst and the best. And I just take everything with a grain of salt. I don't know. People are, sometimes
Had
people are just, sometimes people's there. Maybe they just
a
got, maybe they were at the Panera earlier and they're getting divorced. I don't You never know what's going on.
Very true. Very
Yeah. And then
true.
I'm like, I just read this book and I hate. So, okay, question five. What do you hope readers will take away from reading your book? And you can select any of these books, but we were talking about the crime books, but what do you want people to take away after reading your book?
What do I want people to take away? I think the main thing I would like people to take away is, like from the crime books, is that it was a mystery and it was fun and everything. But I also feel like there is a common thread of, these are two gay characters and they have problems just like everybody else. And it's not going to be just, I like romance, but I also like when it's kind of steeped in reality. And so if they walk away thinking, these two people I actually could see exist in the world, that would be one thing. For my memoir, Pea Shy, I tell this when I was speaking, that all the whole time doing the publicity, we forget child molestation is a crime. And that when it happens at an institution, whether it's a church, a Boy Scout, or a school, that we go to the leaders of those organizations. And that's probably not what we should do. We should go to the police. And so, if I could leave you with that, it's that child molestation is a crime. We should go to the police because institutions oftentimes protect themselves, they circle the wagons, which I get, but that only perpetuates the violence and the sexual abuse. So, families out there, if you know children and they're telling you something, listen to them and go to the police.
Always believe. It's easier
Yes.
to just be disproved than to never to not believe, because it's, I mean, I live right outside of Baltimore, so trust me.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Yeah.
And I went to Catholic school. I get it. Yeah, but that's really, really good advice. I love that. That's very good. You're just full of really good advice.
Oh, well, you'll have to have
I
me
wish you were
back.
I know. I was like, I wish you were my doctor. Oh, you'll be back. Trust me. We're vibing. You'll be back. All right. I always do a rapid fire quiz at the end. It's also five
Ooh.
questions and they're really hard. So get ready. All
Oof.
right, number one. Do you prefer reading standalone novels or series?
Right now, standalone.
Also like to get the temperature of what everyone's thinking. I
But
remember all the answers.
I'm getting into the series. It's just right now I'm being honest.
Very good. All right. This is dependent on how you feel like answering. It doesn't matter. Number two, they're easy. It's not a, I was just joking. Number two, do you prefer reading books set in contemporary times or historical times?
Contemporary.
Yeah, me too. I like that. I do enjoy the odd
I
historical.
will. I'll dabble.
Yeah, it depends. It depends on the what the time period is and stuff. Number three, do you prefer to write in the mornings or evening?
Mornings.
Yeah, do you feel like you fade?
I don't know. It's just I wake up early because I have two dogs, and then I feel like it's my free time because my husband's still sleeping and I can write.
Yeah, it's quiet. It is quiet. It's before the texting and the pinging and everything else starts happening.
Exactly.
Number four, has writing. Nope, that's not the right question because I was looking at the other one. Number four, would you rather watch a movie or a TV show?
Ooh, I love a good movie. But
Me too.
I love binge watching series now because it seems like everything has turned into a series. Limited series, I mean.
Yeah, and everything's good. TV is very good right
Everything's
now.
there's a lot of good TV, and I'm upset because I'm worried about what the actor strike is going to mean for us eventually. You know, what's we're going to be
Yeah.
watching, like cooking shows or something.
Yeah. Hopefully everyone gets back. Yeah, I have a lot of friends that were affected by that, so hopefully it's back on track. Number five. If you could have dinner with any author, living or dead, who would it be?
Ooh, oh my God. I'm gonna go with Stephen King, and I know that sounds probably pretty easy, but I gotta tell you, I grew up probably when you did, and so I remember all of his books being published in hardcover, and I bought them, and I was a
Me
kid.
too. Me too.
And oh my God,
Me
and
too.
I find that he is such an he has such amazing range and this ability to tell stories, and they're horrifying. And plus, I think he's actually just a kook, you know? And I would just, and you know, did you know like he's like 6 foot 3 or four?
And he was a
Yeah.
big guy. I mean, I was
Yeah.
obsessed with him. I have
So
a picture of like him with his little kids in his pool at one point. I was like,
I
put that up
know
on
his
my
son is a
bulletin board, you know.
writer, you
I
know,
know.
Joe.
Yeah.
And so I think I would just want to like sit with him and see that he was a real kook. But I mean, you know, there are many writers that I also would love to sit with Jennifer Egan because I think she's just phenomenal. I just read her new book, Candy. Oh my God, what is it? Candy Shop or
Yeah.
the what? I'm sorry, I can't remember the name.
I
But
know. Yeah, I know.
I,
Yeah, it has candy in the title. I know that one.
yeah,
Yes. And I
it's
can
a
visualize the
follow-up
cover.
to Welcome to the Goon Squad, and I think she just has a really, she gave that advice where she said, listen to people and write down what they say. And she
Nice.
actually teaches a course. So if I had to pick and choose, say Stephen King for the horror and my childhood, and even now, and then Jennifer Egan just because she's fabulous.
Very good. Well, that's a very good answer off the top of your head. I love that. So, what are you working on now? Are you working on another nonfiction? Are you working on more books in the series? What are you working on now?
I have completed the third installment of the Angela Parotta Mysteries. I'm really very excited about it because I love writing about relationships. So the first book was about ambition. The second book is about the conversion therapy. The third one is going to take us into relationships, and I'm going to really dissect what it means to want the right to get married, and did we ask for something we didn't want?
That's hilarious.
And
I have my uncles. I
then
was telling you,
murder in
yeah, you got to have some murder too. I was telling you
that.
about my uncles, and they've been
Yeah.
together for 40 years. And when it became legal, I said to my uncle Dan, I was like, "Oh, you guys gonna get married?" He's like, "I don't want to mess up a good thing."
Yeah, you know what? Me and my husband were together a long time before we got married, and I was like, why are we doing this? And I was like, okay, yeah, let's do
Yeah, that's nice. I mean, marriage is. I'm married. I know what it's like.
be careful what you wish for. That's
Yeah.
what I, that should be like the, you know, the title, and then colon, be careful what you wish for.
I love being married. I love my husband. But it's funny because it's like this aspirational thing when you're younger to get to this point, and then you get to that point, you're like, oh, here it is. I got that. Like,
Yeah.
oh,
Well, I mean,
it was
Disney
not on.
ruined it for us. It said you got to be a princess and get married. And then I guess that's what I did.
Guess what? It's unicorns and rainbows for the rest of the time. You're like, oh yeah, dream come
I
true, you know.
if only, yeah.
But it's worth it in
Yeah.
moments. Yes,
Oh.
it's wonderful. Yeah. Yeah, we have that person.
Enough said.
We are very much in love. All right. Well, it's been a joy, a pleasure, and a joy, and an honor to meet you. It really is. I mean,
Oh,
I think
same
you're just,
here.
yeah, you're just a fascinating person and very obviously very talented in many areas. And cannot wait to see what you do next. And please, please, please come back on the show.
Oh, I would love to. And thank you, you fellow overachiever. I can't wait to share my next book with you, and I hope you'll have me back soon.
I will 100%. You have a good rest of your day. I'm jealous that you're in the city in New York and South. I miss it, but
Come
next
and
time I'm
visit
up,
anytime.
next time I'm up, I will hit you up for a coffee or whatever,
Right.
or a martini or something fun.
It's a
All
date.
right. All right. I'll be there. Enjoy the rest of everyone has to run out and get all of Frank's books. And oh, they can find you where? On your what you have a website? Where are your socials? Your
Website is
passing.
my name. Oh, I am. Yeah, you could find me everywhere. Just frankspinelli.com. And I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And yeah, please, love to hear from you.
Like and follow and comment and leave a very good review. Not even of his book, of any book that you like today. Follow
Yeah, do that.
Dr. Frank's advice. That's your new column. All right.
All right, take care.
Take.